Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Definitely. Like one of my family members have challenged me to find get in-person fellowship and in-person guys that you can hang out with, which I'm all for. But if they're not, if they don't believe in Christians having demons and spiritual warfare or just prophecy, hearing, they can't sharpen me in that spiritual warfare aspect, which that's huge. So that's another aspect of it too that I'm trying to battle. So
yeah,
but thank you.
And it's hard, bro. You know, we would be considered the remnant, right? Those that are really standing, going, God, we want everything you have for us. And the remnant is small. We're on that narrow road. The road is narrow for a reason. So yeah, it's not easy. It's a lonely road at times. At times you have few friends, if any, and it's a road we're all walking. I'm walking on it. You guys see me with this massive following and millions of followers and all of this. But in my own personal life, you know, there's a few people I hang out with. And it's been that way pretty much most of my life because I'm going or most of my Christianity, because we're on that narrow road and we have certain interests that a lot of Christians don't have, you know? So I would just encourage you, man, stay on the narrow road, stay plugged in, and God will bring you around the right people. And let that be your prayer. Let your prayer be, Lord, bring the right people around me and help me to do what you've called me to do. And the Lord will. The Lord, I am confident he'll bring the right people around you.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thanks for calling, bro. God bless. Really good question. Oh, man, you got me all fired up, bro. I'm about to end the calls and just preach a sermon. I wanted to start preaching right there. That's such a good question. But yeah, there's a lot of you that are in that same position. So yeah, we had 8 people on. 3 of them dropped out. I don't know if Zoom kicked you out. I didn't kick anybody out. If you guys get kicked out of Zoom, it's not me, by the way. I'm not sitting here just bored kicking people out of the call. If you get kicked out and you're in the waiting room, that's on the Zoom server side. There's not much I can do about it. I'm just letting people wait. And then, you know, sadly, some people do get removed from Zoom for whatever reason. All right, next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hello. Can you
hear
me?
How are you? Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is awesome. I didn't even expect to get in. I actually dialed the number as a joke.
Yeah,
because
you're
I didn't
in.
Think I was going to be able to get in, but this is awesome. Oh, my goodness. Well,
yeah, you're
since
the second
I am
caller.
On the line. Wow. Since I am on the line, I do have a question that I've had for a while. I am going to be doing deliverance on my husband sometime in the near future. And I know for a fact it's not going to be, you know, a little short deliverance. It's more than likely going to be different stages. That's not the exact word that I'm thinking about, but it's going to be more than one time, basically. And because it's going to be a process, because there's a lot of things that are involved. And also, my husband has been through deliverance before, and unfortunately, he's been a victim of how in Matthew, where somebody gets delivered, the house is swept clean, you know, but then the devil comes back and brings 7 more evil than himself. So he's been a victim of that. And it's a lot that he's dealing with, even within the bloodline, you know, Freemasonry and just a lot that's going on. And so I know that it's not going to be a one-time thing. Now, my question is, how do I go about it knowing that, you know, you don't do the deliverance and then, you know, you seal it with the Holy Spirit and then that's it, knowing that this is going to be a process and going to have to take place, you know, over however many, you know, different sessions? How do you seal each session so that that doesn't happen, you know, where he has an empty space? I know you pray for the Holy Spirit to come fill, but is it anything more than that besides praying for the Holy Spirit to come fill the empty places? And, you know, how exactly do I go about doing that, basically?
Yeah, so first of all, I totally understand your question. It's a great question, especially when it comes to deliverance. I just think when I go into deliverance, I don't ever think, this is going to take, even though, like you're saying, you think it will and you know it will, I just think, okay, Lord, mm-hmm. I believe we're going to get this done. You're going to deliver him. I don't care if it's 1,000 demons, 2,000 demons, 100 demons, 10 demons. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, you're going to do this. We're going to finish this right here. Now's the day to get of salvation, which part of the word salvation, sozo, means to be delivered. Like, now's the day to be fully mm-hmm. delivered and free. And I go into it with that mm-hmm. mindset. So I usually don't go into it with a mindset of like, okay, we're going to have to take this multiple days and we're not going to finish it today. Okay. And I wouldn't even say that okay. verbally, because then the demons are going to try to withstand you and they know like, oh, she's going to only pray for like, you know, 30 minutes or 20 minutes and we'll just yeah. wait till next time. So you definitely don't want to use that language okay. when you're going into deliverance with them. But I would still okay. though, even if you do believe that or think that or goes that way, because there are times where, mm-hmm. for example, it's 2 hours into the deliverance and it's somebody mm-hmm. that's an intense case, right? I'm doing a deliverance this week that is very intense. I already know it's going to be, you know, I told the person be ready because I already know how intense it's going to get. Right. But I still go yeah. and going, all right, we're going to finish it here. If we don't finish it, if it's 2 hours, the person has to go to work or I have to go do something or they're just tired. Some people, their body gets so tired that they just can't continue. Uh-huh. So we need to do right. it a different day. They just can't go on. I will continue to right. do, pray that the Lord would fill any empty spaces, pray that God would protect them, all of these things, and finish it the same mm-hmm. way and say, all right, let's do this again. Let's pray again. Because you can stop the deliverance at any time and whatever demons mm-hmm. left are going to stay left. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still made progress. Okay. And then the next time yeah. we go into the deliverance, we're starting back where we left off pretty much, you know, and we're going back mm-hmm. into it. And I've done this okay. a lot of times and it works. It's not like, oh, we missed it the first time. We got to restart now. No, we're going to go back into right. it. Well, a lot of people, what happens is they get deliverance and then mm-hmm. they think they're fully delivered. And a few days go by and they realize there's still stuff hiding. Right. And we go back and we do more okay. deliverance because there's still stuff hiding. And all of those people in the chat that don't do deliverance are going to say, well, no, it should be instant. It should be quick. That is all great thinking. The problem is it's not reality. Yeah. And if you said, well, Jesus right, did right. it quick. You're not Jesus. We're mm-hmm. students. We're not the exactly. Messiah, right? We're learning. The disciples had a demon they couldn't cast out. And Jesus was like, this comes by prayer mm-hmm. and fasting. This type only comes right. out by prayer and fasting. So yeah, there are times right. where it does take time. And sometimes it takes 20 minutes. Sometimes it takes 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes 6 hours. Like, it just mm-hmm. depends. But we do a massive disservice when we tell people it needs to be fast. Because what if it's not fast? Right. Then they're like, is there something wrong exactly. with me? Is there something wrong with you? Mm-hmm. No, some things, they just take time, energy, effort, and it's warfare. It's wrestling. Sometimes the wrestling mm-hmm. matches longer, and sometimes the warfare is harder and the demons are stronger. And Jesus identified this type of demon only comes out by prayer and mm-hmm. fasting. And then Jesus said in Matthew 12, right. and you quoted, the demon gets 7 of its friends more wicked than itself. More evil right. than itself. So now we know mm-hmm. some demons are more wicked. Some demons are more strong than other demons. So depending on what mm-hmm. demon the person has could also determine sometimes how long it's going to take. So again, I would just do it exactly how I would normally. Pray for the filling, all mm-hmm. of that. Don't worry about the demon coming back 7 times stronger. As long as the house mm-hmm. isn't empty. Because that's the key. If you read Matthew 12, the problem mm-hmm. with the house is that it's swept in an order, which is a good thing, but the house yeah. is empty. That's the problem. So he's not going to be mm-hmm. empty because we're going to pray the Holy Spirit fills him, right? He's full of God. Mm-hmm. He's full of the Spirit. And those things aren't going to mm-hmm. come back and fill the house because the house is full. Now what happens is people get delivered. Then they turn from mm-hmm. God. They reopen the door mm-hmm. and they get re-demonized because their house is empty, because they're out there serving mm-hmm. the world. They're not serving God. They're not living for right. God. But it's not a quick, easy thing where it's like, he slips up, then all of a sudden every demon comes back. It doesn't work that way. It's like, right. hey, when you're empty, when you've just completely turned from God, that house now, mm-hmm. you give the devil a space. You know, you open a door, you gotcha. Give the devil a space. But we definitely don't want to be like hyper scared of, oh, I don't want to do deliverance because what if they reopen the door? And now that is mm-hmm. sometimes the case. If somebody's an unbeliever and they go, oh yeah, I'm not going to serve God. I'm just going to go back to the world, but I want to get delivered. No, mm-hmm. I'm not wasting my time. Mm-hmm. You can go find another deliverance right. ministry. I'm personally not going to waste mm-hmm. my time because I know you don't want to submit your life to Christ and you're just going to go reopen the door. So why am I going to waste my time evicting somebody that right when I leave,
right.
you're going to tell that person I evicted, oh, you can come back and live here. It's like, right, I'm not going right. to do that, you know? So that's something, sense. Yeah, that's something to think about. But for you, just do it the way you'd usually do it and go into the deliverance and go, oh no, we're getting this fully done today. Like every curse is breaking, okay. every demon's coming out. Satan, you have no authority over my husband. You have no authority over this family. And it would be ideal to even get somebody you know, preferably another male guy or a couple male guys to help you in case it gets crazy. I don't know, but that could be something to think about as well. Cause I usually don't recommend, I mean, if it's your husband, I think you'll be okay, but sometimes they do get very violent. And I was doing deliverance a week ago and the guy had a spirit of anger and, you know, he's trying to punch me and he's on the ground and we have like four guys holding him down. And I told him, you know, I command you to stop. The demon has no power. You can't control him. And he still was thrashing and, you know, swinging and all that. So it does get intense sometimes. So you got to definitely use discretion there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. The reason why I said that is because several years ago when my husband had the deliverance done, it was done by a pastor and it was very intense and went on for several hours. And the pastor, she was actually dealing with some sort of sickness and she had to stop because she just couldn't go on. But one thing she did say is that what he was dealing with was like, I don't know if she used the word principalities or not, but she said something from a different region.
Yeah.
Meaning like higher up than just, you know, regular demons. And I mean, that's what she said. And it was very intense. You know, it was a lot of vomiting up even blood. Sorry to be, you know, gory or whatever, you know, but I know that, you know, can be involved with like different blood covenants and, you know, different things like that. So that's the reason why I said that. And plus we also have a young daughter, who is 4 years old and, you know, I tend to her. And actually this is what happened last time. Last time, I was praying and my husband came in, he works overnight. He came in from work and he saw me praying and he just came in and sat down beside me and, you know, asked me to pray over him. And I was praying in the spirit, you know, praying in tongues. And literally he just started manifesting. I wasn't even planning on, you know, we weren't planning on this happening or anything, but he just started manifesting. And so, you know, I started doing deliverance then, but then my daughter who was three at the time, you know, she woke up and then I had to tend to her. So then we had to stop, you know, just cut it off. So
yeah,
it was that. Yeah. Sort of
and
thing.
That lady might be right. It might be a high ranking, you know, principality type demon or a demon assigned to a region or, you know, it could be that, it could be that he's getting deliverance from. But again, you know, it's like you take that authority and you go in there and and you command that thing to leave. But God will help you. God, the Holy Spirit is the best coworker ever. Yeah, he's going to help you. He's going to give you download, wisdom, revelation, tell you what to say, tell you the direction to go. Yeah. And so we're not, of course, you know this, we're not leaning on our own strength. We're going like, okay, Lord, you're the one giving me authority and I'm using your authority. Because of course, the demons don't listen to Isaiah. They could care less about Isaiah Saldivar. I have no authority over them other than I take my authority in Jesus' name. Now I'm coming under his power and his authority. And then that's where you see breakthrough.
Right, right. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
I'm sorry for the noise.
I got four kids. Sorry about that. Sister, you don't ever have to apologize for noise. You already know my house sounds like a circus all the time. So I got four little kids running
and
around.
They're beautiful
don't even apologize.
Girls, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for calling in. Yes. That was a great question.
Thank you so much. God bless you. You've been
awesome.
Such a huge blessing to my life. So I thank you so much.
Thank
God
you
bless
so
you.
Much. God bless you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Great question, guys. If you're watching on Facebook, I also want to recommend coming over to YouTube. I'm highly censored on Facebook. Our content doesn't get out to anybody. I have 50 people on my public figure page watching and we have 300 and something thousand organic followers. So yeah, we're highly censored on Facebook. Jump over to YouTube. It's a better experience. It's a better chat experience and it just works out good. And then also the guy that's in the chat says, I keep getting banned. Brother, you literally just got done calling us Freemasons and Eastern this. That's why you're getting banned. So my moderators are only banning you because you're saying inappropriate, crazy things in the chat. If you don't want to get banned, don't say inappropriate, crazy things in the chat. So I'm reading your chat and you're like, why are they banning me? And then four messages ago, I read you saying how we're Eastern Masons and all that. So bro, just take a deep breath, chill out and be normal and you're not going to get banned. Just be cordial, be normal and no one's going to ban you. And yes, we are live, Deborah. Thank you for being here. We are live. All right. Let's take the next caller here. And yeah, we had eight people in. A bunch of them dropped out. We have three left. Again, if we get through these three people before the 1 hour mark, we'll take in more calls. But it is what it is. Thank you guys for coming from Facebook too. Yeah. Yeah, I'm still, I know I told you guys I'll stay on Facebook for the year, but just know that I'm debating. When I see 50 people on and I have 350,000 followers or whatever on Facebook, it makes me just want to cut off Facebook completely. But we're kind of like, we're in the middle still deciding what we're going to do. Next caller here. All right, we're loading in someone from Zoom. My brother John, you can connect whenever you hear me. John, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, man?
How's it going, bro? How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Pennsylvania.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in. What's going on today?
So I wanted to talk to you, man. So God had radically saved me about 5 months ago.
Okay, awesome.
And I had a really, really, really bad porn addiction before he had saved me. And so, I'm trying to learn, watching your videos and Vlad's video, a bunch of pastors online, that go through deliverance. And basically, like, I had completely stopped the porn addiction, because of the grace of God. And so now, like, I went through a long time of getting, like, sexual dreams, like, a lot. And then they had stopped. And then, like, kept coming. And, like, I'm just confused on why that's happening. I don't know if it's a demon or, like, it's just the enemy attacking me at night. And like, it's, like, I had a bunch of, like, sexual dreams. I think, what is it called? The spirit spouse, something like that?
Yeah.
So I had that, but then, like, it stopped. Like, I was watching prayers on, I was praying, and I was also watching prayers on YouTube. And then, like, that had stopped. And then next thing you know, it was, like, I'm getting dreams of, like, not a spirit spouse, but it's, like, it'd be, like, porn on my phone, but it's, like, I'm dreaming of that. And it's, like, it's just weird, man. I'm not in any type of sexual sin. God freed me from that, and I want nothing to do with that. But it's, like, this is, like, 5 months now that, like, it's still happening of me getting those, like, sexual dreams. And I'm, like, I don't know why I haven't stopped yet.
And have you been through any type of deliverance before for something, like, for any type of spirit of or sexual thing?
So basically how God had saved me was, I was watching Richard Lorenzo. You familiar?
I've had him on the channel before.
Yeah. And so I was watching him, and then, I was watching him, and then I was, like, questioning if deliverance was real or not at first before I had, given my life to Christ. And then I had gotten to the fact that, oh, it is real. And then I watched him praying for deliverance. And I actually, him praying through a YouTube video is how I got delivered.
Wow.
And then, that's how I received my full deliverance, like, not in person prayer at all. Like, God delivered me through YouTube videos.
Wow.
And, so it was, I haven't really even talked to nobody like that. And it's just, like, I just don't know why this is still going on. Like, even, like, last night, as, like, I got a sexual dream, I was like, I don't know if this is normal, if this is a demon or the enemy's attacking me in my dreams, spiritual warfare. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it could definitely be somehow, you still need more deliverance and a demon has access to you and you're having this recurring thing. But it could also not be that. It could also be that you're, God's cleansing you, purging these things, and the devil knows the only time he can tempt you or bring this into your life is at night, and this is his last ditch effort to try to get you back into those sexual temptations and sexual desires. Now, This is going to be controversial for maybe people in the chat. Do I think it's God's desire or will for your life to have sexual dreams every night? No, I don't think it's God's desire. So for me, I would be like, hey, I want to make sure that I want to go through deliverance in person, have somebody lay hands on me and pray for me to make sure nothing's there. I want to do, like, a couple day fast, just fast this thing out and just really pray for breakthrough in this area. I want to make sure that I'm not looking at anything on my phone, making sure that I'm not on my phone or computer late at night. I'm not searching, like, the Instagram Explore tab. I'm not looking at any TikTok reels, and I'm not looking at any YouTube shorts. And the reason why I'm saying that content is because, that content, the algorithm chooses what you see. So, right. So I'm on TikTok, bro, and I'm scrolling, it's choosing what it's going to show me. And I know, like, as a guy, okay, if this is, I'm dealing with sexual sin, a video might pop up of a girl in a bikini or a girl dressed inappropriate, and that's going to stir that thing up in me. Like, the Bible says, you can't, don't let lust stir you up. Don't be stirred up with lust. And so I know that's a trigger for me. So if my eye causes me to sin, Jesus said, gouge it out. So if my phone causes me to sin, I'm going to get rid of it. I'm not going to get on it. I'm not going to get on Instagram. I'm not going to get on TikTok. I'm not going to get on Facebook. Whatever it is triggering me, right? When I'm awake, I'm not going to get on it. But I'm just being hyper vigilant to just see what is going on. Why am I having these recurring dreams over and over and over again? Maybe it is a demonic spirit I need to get delivered from. So you go down that avenue of deliverance because it's like you're saying, it's not normal. It's like, bro, I'm having this every single night. So you go down that avenue of deliverance. And then if it's not that, then it's like, okay, I'm going to pray, Lord, you know, consecrate my mind. I'm, like you said, I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm not in sin, I'm living right, but I still have this lingering thing. That's where you just really say, okay, I need to consecrate myself, maybe put on the audio Bible before bed, maybe memorize like 4 or 5 verses about God giving you sleep and rest, and you quote those before bed, you know, praying the armor of God on before bed, putting on worship music as you fall asleep, putting on worship instrumental music, you know, like Vlad has really good instrumental worship music. Boom, put that on at night and just kind of get my mind in his presence, my mind in prayer, praying myself to sleep at night, and just trying to really starve this thing, starve this flesh. If it's a spirit, drive the spirit out so I don't have to live my life. Because you have the dream and then you wake up and it's like, man, it's like real, right? You're all stirred up. You're thinking like, oh my gosh, that was like real. It's almost like watching pornography, because in your dream, I mean, you can't control it. You're not controlling what's happening in the dream. And then you wake up feeling terrible. And for me, I just go, yeah, I know there's people in the chat that will say, oh, it's just your flesh. That's how you have to live the rest of your life. I don't buy that. I think that God wants to free us from these dreams and these ungodly desires. I think we need to run from lust, as the Bible says. So those are just things to think about.
Okay. Yeah, man. Like, dude, it's like what you said. Like, dude, I had a horrible, horrible, probably one of the worst porn addictions. And yeah. I had no hope, dude. And I was seeking freedom somehow. I was even considering going to rehab for it. And yeah. This is how, you know, God radically saved me from it. And so like, it's like, I want absolutely nothing to do with it. Like, yeah. even when it comes to social media and stuff, dude, like, I mean, I wiped everything clean. And if I have to even glimpse at something, bro, I throw it away. And that's how, yeah, I've been for the past 5 months, dude. Like,
that's amazing.
I want nothing to do. And so that's why I'm like, dude, like, why? Like, and like, you know, before giving my life to Christ, you know, as guys are, you know, lurking eyes, dude, I'm talking nothing like that at all, bro.
Yeah. And that's why I'm just confused. Like, man, what God is doing in your life.
Yeah, as
and you may need some deliverance. You know, you may, like, for me, thinking about that, because I came out of a similar situation where I was addicted to pornography for years before I was saved, up until getting saved and God freed me, and I've been 13 years now, didn't go back. God completely freed me. I've never gone back to pornography. I'm not sitting there like, oh, I want to look. I know God can do it. Like, I know God can do it. I've seen Him do it in my own life. And right, so right. For me, I would, if I was you, because when I answer these questions and people call in, I'd like to just put myself, knowing what I know now, in the person's shoe. Like, what would I do if I was in your shoes? I mean, if I was in your shoes right now, I would be on the deliverance map today looking for someone in my area, preferably a guy in my area, to meet with me and pray deliverance. And again, if nothing's there, if there's no demonic spirit, if there's nothing there, then hey, I got prayer. Praise God. I met somebody. I met a brother in Christ and I got prayer. You're not losing anything. But if there is a demon, then you have everything to gain, because now you've gotten deliverance from that unclean spirit. And we all know this. I mean, you watch my content, demonic sexual sin and lust and pornography. All that is a massive open door. I mean, when you watch porn, you're literally opening the door as wide as you can. And you're just basically calling out every demon. Hey, come live in me. You know, it's like you're opening the door massively with perversion and lust. And, you know, the eyes are, I believe, the window to the soul. You know, the eye is good, the whole body is good, but if the eye is full of darkness, how dark is that darkness, the Bible says. So our eyes are a massive window and gate to what we let in. And we want to make sure that we're very careful what happens to our eyes. Now, of course, this is before you were saved, right? Now you're saved. Now you know. And we all go, amen, duh, Isaiah. But you didn't know that for years, right? You were living in that for years. And, yeah, we just want to make sure and pray. You want me to pray for you real quick and just see if anything surfaces or anything,
dude,
comes up?
Yeah, man, please do.
Okay. Father, I just pray right now for my brother, John. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in his life. God, we just pray today that you would bring breakthrough and deliverance in this area of lust and pornography. We come against every spirit of perversion. We come against every spirit of lust. We're on to you. We know you're there. And we command you, leave our brother now in Jesus' name. Come up and out of him now. You have no power. You have no authority. The blood of Jesus is against you. He doesn't want you there. He is not your home. He is not your home. So you cannot access him at night. You cannot access his mind. You cannot access his thought life. We command you up and out now in Jesus' name. We bind you. The blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. Every demon attacking him at night, You must go now in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have no authority. The blood is against you. Go now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of perversion, every spirit of shame, every spirit of lust, every spirit of pornography, come up and out right now in Jesus' name, out of his mouth and into the abyss now. In Jesus' name, you have to go. Come out in Jesus' name. The blood is against you. You must go now. Leave him. Leave him right now. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you set him free from this, God. I pray his mind would be renewed. God, we stand in the agreement for his deliverance and his breakthrough. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, freedom right now. Lord, I pray freedom right now. Freedom in his mind. Holy Spirit, I just pray free his mind. Every shackle, every chain, every bondage, every weight. We break it in Jesus' name. The blood is against you, Satan. The blood is against you. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Go. Come out of his mouth now in Jesus' name. You have no power. Come out. Come out. You have no power. Come out. You have no power. The blood is against you. You must go in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. Every unclean spirit, loose him right now. Come out now in Jesus' name. Every spirit must go. We bind you. We bind you up and out in Jesus' name. Go now. Go now in Jesus' name. Every spirit must go. Every spirit must go. Come out of his mouth and go into the abyss. Go. Go in Jesus' name. You have no power. You have no power. Let him go. Let him go now in Jesus' name. Go. The fire of God is against you, Satan. Go now. Go now. Leave out of his mouth into the abyss. The blood of Jesus is against you. You've lost this battle. Loose him now. Loose him now. We're not asking you, we're telling you. Loose him now. You do not have access to him. Go in Jesus' name. Come on, chat. Just pray for him right now. Holy Spirit, do it only you can do. Do it only you can do, Lord. Every spirit must go. Go. You have no authority over him anymore. He's not yours. He's not yours. You must go now in Jesus' name. Go. Go, you stubborn demon. You have no authority. We break your power. We cancel your assignment now. Your assignment has been canceled in Jesus' name. You must come up and out right now. Come up and out right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go. Go. Out of his mouth into the abyss now. Now. Go. He doesn't want you. He's a son of God now. Come out. Come out. You have to go. You have no choice. You have no choice. Let him go.
No.
Go. Loose him right now. You have no legal right. Go. Go. You have no legal right. Do you have a legal right to be there?
No.
Okay, you must go. Let's go. Come out. Come out. Come out of his mouth now and go into the abyss. Go. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Everything must go right now. Out of his mouth, into the abyss. Come on, let's go. Go. Go in Jesus' name. You are evicted now. You cannot live in this house anymore. You cannot live in this house anymore. Go. Go in Jesus' name. Come on, let's go. What is your name? Come out. What is your name? What is your name? Come out. What is your name, Spirit? What is your name? We command you to tell us your name in Jesus Christ's name.
No.
Yeah, what's your name? Come on, let's go. What spirit is this? What spirit is this? Come on, let's go. Lord, we just pray your fire against them right now. We just pray, Lord, that you would burn this up with your fire and your power. God, do what only you can do right now. Go. Go. The blood of Jesus is against you. You've lost your power. Loose and perversion. Loose and perversion now. Let him go. Let him go. Go. You have no authority. He's a son of God. Go now. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. You have no power over John. Loose John. Let him go. In Jesus' name, release him now. You're going to be judged before Jehovah God for being disobedient. Come out of him now, you disobedient spirit. Go. Stop wasting our time. Go now. Go now in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray, God, that you would send your ministering angels to torment these unclean spirits. Lord, I just pray for John right now, God, that you would just send your angels to make war against these spirits, God. I pray, Lord, you would fully deliver him, set him free, break the power of these spirits, Lord. Sever the ties, God. I pray every assignment and every contract is canceled right now in Jesus' name. Lord, do it only you can do right now in Jesus' name. John, I want you to say, I command
every spirit
to leave me now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You have no power. You got this. Say, you have no power. Yeah, demon is mad. John, say, you have no power.
You have no power.
And you have no authority over me.
And you have no authority over me.
Go now.
Go now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All right, we command that spirit. Go, go, go. Out of his mouth, into the abyss. Go, 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 go. Everything must go. Take everybody with you. Take the whole kingdom with you now. Go now in Jesus' name. Go now in Jesus' name. Go. Every single one of you have to go. Go into the abyss. Go into the pit now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. How are you feeling, John? You feel anything leaving you?
I think so. My whole body's like vibrating right now.
Yeah, you know, the book of Acts chapter 8 says the demons were screaming as they left their victims. So a lot of times when you're those big screams, demons are leaving as you're screaming. I mean, that's literally how they leave in Acts chapter 8. So I think God is definitely freeing you today. I think it's the start of freedom. Obviously, I'm on a phone call with you. You know what I'm saying? I can't see you. I have no like connection to that level, but I would highly recommend continuing to go through deliverance. Now we know. I mean, I want to just see if anything was there. I mean, now we know something's there and I think you're getting freed from stuff, but I would still be like, hey, I want more deliverance. I want more freedom. I want to make sure everything goes. So I'd be connecting with someone on the map or of a local church you can find. It doesn't have to be on the map. If you can find a local church that does deliverance or local believers, then being like, hey, this is what's going on with me. I want to get freedom. I want to get set free. And I believe God's going to set you free completely from this.
Thank you so much, man.
How are you feeling right now?
I honestly thought there was nothing there, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they want you to think. That's the whole goal of camouflage, right? Like, the goal of an enemy is to hide and remain undetected. Every military in the world uses camouflage. So the devil uses camouflage. They hide. The demons know, like, if you knew they were there, you'd be getting deliverance. You'd be getting prayer. So they don't want you to know they're there. That's the goal. And so we're able to expose them for what they are and to command them to leave in Jesus Christ's name and his authority. And I think some of them did leave you, but I think there's probably still more stuff there.
Yeah, man.
Well, bro, I look forward to you calling again in a week or two saying, hey, bro, I'm fully free and fully delivered.
Yeah. Hey, can I, what's it called? How can I reach? Because I had looked on your map before,
Yeah.
And like the person that was closest to me was like kind of hard to find. It was like 45 minutes away, and it was a woman. Is there any way you could like get me on a private call with anybody?
Yeah, I
Just
can try to
remove
do
me.
that. Let me get your contact. Actually, you know what? Let
Sure.
me give you my contact. Hold on, let me mute us both.
Okay.
All right, God bless you, bro.
God bless you,
God
Ben.
bless. Well, hey, that was powerful. Sometimes the calls turn into deliverances, and you know, we gotta be led by the Holy Spirit and do what He wants us to do. So, praise the Lord. Okay, we got two more people here in the queue, I see, and we've been live for about 50 minutes. So we have a call, prayer call at 1:30, which I know Jared's in the chat. Hey, maybe we need to do deliverance today. Maybe we need to break out mass deliverance in the prayer call. We did it a few weeks ago. Here's the thing, guys. Because there's in the totality of the body of Christ, there's so few ministers, preachers, pastors, churches that are willing to do deliverance. It's massively needed. There's so many demons that it's massively needed. And so, yeah, it's like we could end up doing these, we could do mass deliverance calls every day for 5 years and still not even scratch the surface of how many people need to get deliverance. So sometimes when I want to do mass deliverance, like streams, which, man, I should just do one next week. But streams or prayer calls, I'm always like, ah, I don't know. You know, I did that a couple weeks ago. I did that. But then I forget, man, there's new people every time. People need freedom. I've lost track of how many people said, I got delivered on your prayer call. I got delivered on a YouTube video. So the beauty of God is He's not bound by time, space, or place, and He can move and do what He wants to do when He wants to do it, wherever. And yeah, God is God. So we just give Him the opportunity. We take authority. We're His ambassadors. I want you guys to remember that you are a representative of Christ and His kingdom. So we take authority as His representatives, and we confer His kingdom upon the kingdoms of this world. But don't forget, you're an ambassador. You're not just, I'm just a Christian. I'm just, No, you're not. You're not just a little lukewarm grasshopper that gets stepped on by the culture. No. I am an ambassador of Christ. I represent God. I represent God. So I'm gonna come with authority. I'm not scared. I'm not weak. I'm not like people like, oh, don't you think it's so crazy? Well, I have authority in Christ. The demons will listen to me. They listen to you too in Jesus' name. They listen to you in Jesus' name. So we gotta just walk in that authority. The world needs you to walk in the authority that Christ conferred upon you to represent Him on the earth. Jesus said, it's better that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit, the helper, to comfort and to empower you. So we take that power. He's given it to us. Like, we're not stealing it from God. God's given us His power. All right, I'm done preaching. We're gonna take the next caller. Thank you so much for calling in. Please let me know your name and where you're calling in from.
Hi, Isaiah. My name's Jessica. I'm calling from Houston, Texas.
How are you, Jessica?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on today?
Well, first, I want to say awesome call today. It's been some really good questions that have come in, and
Yes,
I'm
it's been
going to be
great.
praying for, yeah, I'm going to be praying for John that he continues to
Thank
get his
you.
deliverance. I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I know you got one other one waiting. But my question today is, in September of 2020, my dad passed away,
Okay.
and he never, that I know of, accepted Christ.
Okay.
He was an alcoholic. He had many demons he was battling. He was a Vietnam veteran, so he saw and did a lot of things that we probably couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
And he would be very, just blasphemous towards the Lord. He would always say things like, I don't need God. I am God.
Oh.
He would say things like, I would say, well, the kids and I went to church today. And he'd go, oh, did you tell them you know God?
Wow.
So he was just very, hard-hearted and never wanted to have anything to do with the conversation about the Lord, about Jesus. He wasn't raised in church. And so my question is when he passed away, he was in hospice care because of complications from alcoholism. And so it was during COVID, and we were not allowed to be in the room with him. Only my mom was able to go. And so she tried, and again, he was unconscious when she went to go say her goodbyes.
Okay.
And they always say that the hearing is the last thing to go
yes.
of your senses. And so my question is it possible that he, at the very last moment, could have been saved because she was trying to tell him, you know, honey, it's not too late. If you can hear my voice, you can still accept Jesus. And sorry, I'm getting so emotional
because this has really ate me up for
4 years almost. And it's just heart-wrenching to think that he could possibly be in hell at this moment, being tortured, and now it's too late, you know?
Yeah.
And they always say, you know, of course, as soon as you step over that line, your eyes are open to all the truth, and then you're thinking, I should have listened. I should have, you know, why didn't I listen when these people came to, you know, talk to me and witness to me? But, you know, I really struggle with that. Why didn't I do more? Why didn't I say more? You know, he was just so angry at the world and never wanted to have anything to do with the conversation. And, you know, I don't know if maybe at the last moment before he slipped into unconsciousness, did he, you know, cry out to God, like, you know, forgive me and I'm sorry. And I really struggle with that. And I just didn't, I know I hear people having deathbed conversions when they're still conscious, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're in that coma state, it makes you wonder, like, was their mind still there? I mean, obviously they were still physically alive, but was mentally, were they already gone, you know?
Yeah, that's a really great question. My heart breaks for you. You know, that's, don't ever apologize for being emotional. I mean, I'm getting emotional talking about it. I don't even know him, but I know what you went through. Such a hard thing to go through. So traumatic. And even teaching on hell, it's hard to even teach on it because I know people that I'm thinking like, probably they went to hell, or if we have friends or family, and it's such a hard pill to swallow. It makes people want to go, there's no way I could believe in hell or God because of my experience. But we know that we don't ever use our experience to dictate scripture or truth or what God's word says, although our experience is hard and sad and really hard to bear. With that all being said, personally, do I believe God can meet somebody in a coma? 1,000%. You know, I wish I could find the story, but I was listening to a story of a guy in a coma, similar to your dad's situation, and was talking about how while he was in a coma, he had met with the Lord. He talked with Jesus. Jesus showed up to him, told him basically like, you know, you're going to come out of this, but you need to serve me. Your family's been praying for you. You need to give me your life. Very similar situation to your father, was just a staunch atheist, right? Was in a coma for months and all this stuff. Anyways, he came out of the coma, serves God, sharing now, and I'll look for that testimony. If I can find it, I'll announce it on my stream so you can watch it, or maybe I'll do a reaction video to it. But I 1,000% personally, I don't have a scripture for you, believe that God can meet with people in their coma. God can show up to people. I mean, people die and then have encounters with God. In fact, I have someone on the show next week that died, I think last year, clinically was dead, and has this whole encounter where God was talking to him and all that. And we're going to talk about that next week on the podcast. But yes, I believe God can. Now, you're praying, your mom's praying, everybody's praying for him. I believe God is faithful that you and your whole household shall be saved. And so I believe that if you were praying and crying out to God for him, that there was an opportunity where God would show up to him in a coma. And there is a chance that you are going to end up at the gate of heaven and you're going to walk up to that gate and the first person to meet you is going to be your dad. I believe there's a chance. I believe that could be the case. You know, that to me, that's not out of the realm of possibility. And if I was in your shoes, I wouldn't think I could have shared more. I could have did more. All of us could. All of us could do more and share more. And your experience could be a wake-up call for all of us. Some of you in the chat right now are like, man, I need to talk to my dad. I need to call my dad. I need to talk to him and witness. And that's great. That's a wake-up call. But I will say, don't beat yourself up over it. You, there's nothing you can change now. You did what you can do. You tried opening the conversation. He closed it down. And now what you can do is hold on to the hope that our God is faithful and just. He's a righteous, mm-hmm. fair God. And you prayed, your mom prayed. Maybe there was a deathbed conversion, right? Maybe he was the thief on the cross and said,
yeah.
you know, Jesus, maybe right before he went into a coma, he cried out, Jesus, save me. And no one was in the room. No one was in the room. And he cried out to God. And Jesus mm-hmm. says, today you'll be with me in paradise, right? Those who call upon the name of the Lord right. shall be saved. I do believe that 1,000%. It could have happened. Of course, I can't say it did. Of course, I can't guarantee. And I know you don't think I am. But I'm just saying I would hang on to that hope that, hey, maybe one day I'll meet him at the gate, right? Like maybe one day mm-hmm. when I get to the gate of heaven, yeah. my dad's going to be there saying, hey, you're right. You were right. I should have listened to you, you know, and you guys can laugh about it in heaven. And yeah. and I will say this, if that's not the case, you're going to get to heaven and every tear will be wiped away. And I believe that you will not even, and this sounds kind of sad, but it's also reassuring that, you know, you'll not even have a memory or thought of, man, my dad's in hell yeah. while you're in heaven. You know, God would wipe that memory right. clear from you. But yeah, I do believe there's a chance. I do believe in deathbed conversions. I believe in near-death experiences. I believe in God visiting people in a coma and everything else like that.
Yeah. And Isaiah, you wouldn't believe the amount of people that have told me, oh, well, your dad was a good person when he wasn't drinking. So he you know, he was a good person. So he is in heaven. I can't believe the amount of people that believe that yeah, it's false
sad.
Teaching.
Yeah, yeah, it's sad.
Because
it's sad.
Because I know better, and I'm like, no, you don't get in by being a good person.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And you're not in denial. You know, you're not in denial over it. You understand, like, okay, yeah. this is what's going on. This is how it works. So, I would just hold on to that hope and just go, okay, I got to move on. And it's so tough though, especially with the whole you couldn't go visit. You had to be on like an iPad. I mean, that was insane. That was so crazy how many people died during the shutdown mm-hmm. that never got to say goodbye. Like, that's so crazy to me yeah, how that whole thing happened for years.
Yeah, it was really sad because I feel like, you know, I could have, you know, you hold on to that. Well, if I would have been able to go, I could have talked to him before he passed. And yeah, you just have, like you said, I have to hold on to hope that he had that wake up call, you know, before he went on and hold Absolutely. On to that. And like you said, I do believe that too, that heaven wouldn't be paradise if you had memories of lost yep. loved ones. So I don't think that we'll have a memory of them if they didn't make it. We wouldn't even realize that they're not there. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we live in a fallen world. This is all part of that. And man, it's unfortunate the things that happen to people yeah. and things. And yeah. But anyways, thank you so much for asking the question. It was a great question. And all we can do is hang on to the hope, you know, that God showed up to him at the last minute.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Isaiah, and you take care, and God bless.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Take bye-bye. Care. Really good question, guys. Oh, so sad. So sad. All right, there's one person left in the call. We're going to take this quack. We're going to take this quick. I don't know what is my words today. What is actually happening? We're going to take this quick because I have a prayer call starting here in a few minutes. So, but I don't want to leave her hanging because she's the last one in the call here. So let's take this last caller. Zoom does take a minute, so we'll load her in. Oh, if you guys are wondering, yes, I have contacts in and they're actually bugging me today. They never bug me. And then putting them in today, they were hurting my eyes. I don't know. Victoria, how are you? Hello. We're going to give her a
Can
second.
Can you hear me?
Victoria, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. What's going on today?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. Can you hear me?
Oh, I think I'm on in the background. Sorry yeah, the stream's that. Delayed, so you're going to hear it late.
Okay. I was dating someone for several years.
Oh, can you mute me in the background? I'm hearing you twice.
So I was dating someone for several years. Hello?
Can you hear me now? You're echoing back because the stream was playing in the background. Okay.
All right. Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yep. We're good now.
Okay.
I was dating someone for several years. We split apart the past few months, and recently he opened up to me about some hardships relating to his family, ultimately leading to him moving away. And he told me that he has plans to start an OnlyFans as a means of income. I already prayed for him, but I'm wondering how you would advise to respond.
I mean, is he a Christian?
I mean, I believe so. We're both from the same faith, and I think mine especially has gotten stronger within the past year, so I'm very sensitive to certain things I wasn't before. But that was always something that I felt was terribly wrong, and it hurts me to hear that he would consider doing something like this.
Yeah, I mean, you can obviously tell him it's wrong because it is. We all know that the Bible clearly teaches that that's a sin, that's wrong. And my first thought is that he's just doing it to get attention because, hey, you broke up and he wants attention. He wants you to be like, oh my goodness, no, don't do that. I'm here for you. You know what I mean? That's just what guys do. I mean, girls do that as well. So to me, it sounds like he's trying to just get some attention from you or get you to talk with him. But I wouldn't take it upon yourself to try to be the person to like talk him out of it or save him or witness to him. He knows it's wrong. So I don't know what you can say to him that's going to really affect him to not do it. I think for me personally, just thinking about it, he's just doing it for attention and saying, you know, he's going to do this. So you'll be like, oh no, don't do that. And maybe rekindle something. I personally just wouldn't be the one in your position. I wouldn't take it upon yourself to try to be the one to even talk to him about that because it's not even appropriate to really be talking about if you're dating somebody. The Bible says like it's the shameful things that people do in darkness shouldn't even be like talked about or mentioned. So for you to and him to even be talking about like doing OnlyFans or pornography and stuff like that just is like inappropriate, and it might even just bring you back into that toxic relationship or that ungodly relationship. So I would say he's probably not really gonna do it. He's probably doing it as the chat saying like it's a trap. He is probably just doing it to get attention, to get you to talk to him about it. And I don't know. I mean, I don't, honestly, I don't know what I would say to him. I don't really know what I would tell him. If somebody's a Christian, quote unquote, they know the truth. It's not like he thinks it's not wrong. You know what I'm saying? He's not going into it being like, I'm not sinning. He knows it's wrong. He knows it's sin. So it's kind of like, how do you tell somebody who's a grown adult what they're doing is wrong when they know it's wrong? I wouldn't even waste my time. I would just pray for him. I would put him on the top of my prayer list and say, hey, I'm going to pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but I'm not going to talk with him. I'm going to cut him off completely. It's not a godly relationship. This is not going to be my husband. So I have no business even, you know, entertaining that anymore and just commit him to prayer. Every time you pray, he's at the top of your prayer list. I still 13 years later pray for my ex-girlfriend that I broke up with when I got saved, who I was with for 4 years, by the way, right? Pretty much living with her, got saved. The Lord said, that's not your wife. So we broke up because I'm like, hey, this is not my wife. And I broke up with her the first week of my salvation. And the Lord told me, if you don't break up with her, you're putting your whole calling at risk. So I broke up with her. And 13 years later, I haven't talked to her in 13 years. I broke up through a text and haven't talked to her since. And again, I was with her 4 years, but I don't try to witness to her. I didn't try to witness to her. I just pray and pray and pray. And she went off and did all this crazy stuff you can think of, you know, getting with friends of mine, just everything crazy you can think of that was being told to me. I didn't reach out to her. I didn't say, I'm here for you. I'm going to, you know, no, the Lord can reach her. I'll commit myself to prayer, but I don't want to go back into that bondage. I don't want to, you know. You talk to him and all of a sudden now you're back with him again. You don't want to do that. You don't want to go into all of that. Just pray for him. Pray God brings the right guys around him to minister to him and to witness to him. But definitely, I've seen this happen too many times where the guy will use something like that to reel the girl back in. And yeah, it doesn't sound like, just from what you're telling me, and I'm just telling you as a brother, right? You're my sister in Christ. So if you're my little sister, I'm telling you as a brother, like, this is not the guy you want to be with. If there's this guy saying, I'm going to start an OnlyFans when you guys break up, no, that is not husband material. It's not the guy you want to be with. You need a man of God. You need someone that's going to lead you, be the priest of the home, not a guy who's trying to make an OnlyFans. Like that is not a man. That's a little boy. So for me, stay far away from him and pursue God. Don't even entertain that. Don't even talk with him about it, and just continue to pray for him, commit him to prayer, because it's not your responsibility to save him. It isn't. It's not your responsibility to save him. And it's not worth risking your own, you know, salvation in your testimony and your walk to try to get, give this guy the attention that he's obviously looking for.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I just, honestly, I don't think that he really feels like it's wrong to do. There was a point where he actually tried to convince me to do it with him. And yeah, like crazy. I said, it's just completely against what I believe. So you would advise to just not even like...
No, don't even entertain it. I wouldn't even talk with him because he's not a Christian. He's an unbeliever. If he doesn't think it's wrong to do pornography, he's not a real Christian. He doesn't know the scripture. He doesn't read the Bible. He's not following the Jesus of the Bible. He might be following like another Jesus. But if you follow the Jesus of the Bible, you know what Jesus taught about sexual sin. And Jesus literally said, cut your eye out if it causes you to stumble. So yeah, he's not a Christian. That's the bottom line, right? He could say he is all he wants, but I would just be like, see ya. And just, God will bring the right person around you. You know, God's going to bring you the right guy who's going to be your husband. Not this guy who's over here, I don't think it's wrong to do OnlyFans. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? If I talked to a guy and he told me that and he was a Christian, I'd be like, bro, you're not a Christian. Just saying, I'm not trying to judge your salvation. I'm just a fruit inspector and you're not showing any fruits of the spirit. So yeah, my advice would be is to stay far away from him and just pray for him and don't even text him back if I was you.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. It makes sense to me.
Awesome. Thank you, Victoria, for calling in.
Of course.
All right. God bless you, sister. Take care.
You too.
Guys, when I'm answering these questions, I am thinking of you guys as my brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what we are. I'm thinking of what would I do in your situation, knowing, you know, what I know, the Bible knowledge I have and the ministry experience I have. And that's how I'm answering. So maybe you agree, maybe you don't agree. But if that's, well, I don't even want to say my daughter, because I hope my daughter's never in a situation where she's with a guy like that. But if that's like a sister of mine, right? Victoria's my sister. You guys calling in, you're my family. All of you in the chat, if you are a Christian, if you're not a Christian, we're not family yet. We could become family. But if you are in the chat, you are a Christian. You are my family in Christ. We're brothers and sisters. And actually, we're more brothers and sisters than my blood family, the Bible says. So those that are in Christ, those that are believers, we're family. And I'm advising people. Sometimes it's harsh. Sometimes it's brutal. But it's like, this is what I would tell my sister. So I just got to give it to y'all straight. I'm not going to fabricate it and try to make it sound good. That's what it is. What am I drinking? Water? I'm drinking the longest bottle of water you've ever seen in your life. Are you ready? Is that it? Nope. Keeps going. That is a massive bottle of water. That's like extra large. I got a big head and that's bigger than my head. So no, I'm just drinking water. What a great show. Sadly, I started recording. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.